One of the issues that came up as the president was speaking this morning in Indonesia was nearby Myanmar and the election that took place over the weekend.
Last week's election in Burma was neither free nor fair, and we will continue our efforts to move Burma toward democratic reform and protection of human rights. As a first step, the Burmese authorities should immediately and unconditionally release all political prisoners, including Aung San Suu Kyi.
Suu Kyi, of course, the Nobel Prize-winning dissident in Myanmar who actually won an election, the only free and open election that the military junta in Myanmar actually declared invalid many, many years ago. The BBC is reporting, although it could constitute just pulling numbers out of a hat at this point, not that the BBC is. This has been very, very difficult to gauge. The main military-backed political party saying it won about 80% of the votes in this first election in 20 years. But there's been fighting and violence in the east of the country, thousands of refugees fleeing across the border into Thailand. Seth Maidans joins us, Southeast Asia correspondent for our partner. He's speaking with us from the New York Times Bureau in Bangkok. Good morning, Seth.
Good morning to you.
How do you follow the sort of outcome of this election, and what does the violence say about the ability of the military to actually enforce this very, very tightly controlled election inside Myanmar or Burma?
Well, I think there are somewhat different issues, although they have connections. The insurgency, the ethnic insurgency in the hinterlands, has been going on for half a century, one of the world's long civil wars. And this is one small eruption of something that has been going on with bigger fights in the past. I think it may have been timed for publicity because some people were at the border of Burma during the time of the election. In the election, the military has set this election up to legitimize it, give it the facade of civilian rule, and hope for the respective nations overseas. Of course, they didn't persuade President Obama, but the election's very important to the military. They've never been voted into office. They can't go among their peers in Southeast Asia and say, we're a legitimate government like you. So now they have a civilian facade there, but it's been constructed to make sure the military stays in power.
And again, the military appears to be claiming 80% of the vote, yet is there any way of assessing whether the boycott called for by dissidents, including Suu Kyi, was successful in any way whatsoever?
Well, there's no way to really know. People who've talked with people on the ground there are finding a lot who say they're boycotting on her behalf, but that's in the capital city, and that's just a few people. We may not know even the turnout figures. Only the junta can give us turnout figures, and we may or may not go with them. But if there's a small turnout, or if some people don't turn out, we can't know their motives.
Seth Maidans, New York Times Southeast Asia correspondent. Burma is very isolated. Is there a nearby neighbor who might recognize this government as a first step away from isolation quickly?
Well, the governments, we all recognize the government. The question is the United States' policy towards Burma of isolation and sanctions, European Union as well, and some other nations, is in contrast to the policies of the big neighbors, China and India. And
it's a tiny step, so it might push them closer into the Chinese camp there. Seth Maidans, New York Times Southeast Asia correspondent.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.